Father, I thank you, Lord, God Almighty, for bringing us into this relationship with you through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. And now we can call you Father. Glory to God. We thank you for this new day and this platform. Thank you for everyone that's here. Some are already in the middle of their day. Give you praise for that. And as we gather together for fellowship today, we thank you because we know our gathering is unto you. And you declared in your word that as two or three shall gather together in your name, you'll be right there in the midst. So we thank you that you're here. And as always, Lord, we declare today that the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today, I want to challenge us and also encourage us at the same time to step out in faith. But you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. So there is a story we want to read from the Bible and see the various elements of that story. Now, every time we read something from the Bible, we got to look, you know, and see what the Lord was, would be wanting to show us. You know, we can't just read it and gloss over it. He may be trying to show you something beyond what immediately appears to the casual looker. So let's read this story and see if we can see something out of it that the Lord wants to tell us. Popular story, Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read through the text first and then we'll talk about it. Praise the Lord. So Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Now in this chapter, there's a lot of things that already happened, right? So we know that Jesus already fed the 5,000 just before this and so forth. And they took up 12 baskets afterward. And we were told that the number of people that ate were 5,000 men besides the women and the children. So Jesus already did an amazing miracle here. And then let's pick up this story. Matthew 14 and 22. And straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." So they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answering him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Well, that's his story. Let's break it down and see what we might find out of this story. Several things that, we may learn from this. Now, for one thing, this story starts out, this part of the story starts out by Jesus wanting to separate himself unto prayer. And he was a long time in prayer by himself. First, he sent his disciples away. Then he sent the multitudes away. Then he himself went into a mountain apart, didn't want anybody to come with him. You know, he knew that disciples were hanging around. They would want to go with him. So he sent them away first. So they wouldn't even see where he went. Of course, the multitudes wouldn't care. They only cared about the bread. But the disciples, some of them especially, maybe Peter, James, and John would have liked to follow him. So he sent them away first. So they wouldn't know what or where he went. You know, and then he sent away the disciples. The multitude. So what is it that we see here, first of all, in this story about, you know, the pattern of life that Jesus, his pattern of life, basically. I mean, he just empowered the disciples here for a tremendous miracle. And you know the rest of the story about the bread and the fish that he blessed and gave in the disciples to give to the multitudes. I mean, there's something similar happened in multiple places, more than once. There was the 4,000, 7 loaves, there was the 5,000, the 2 fishes and 5 loaves and all that. And, you know, but we see something here. After this great miracle, of course, you might remember that, my commentary on that particular story, that it was all that Jesus did was to put a blessing on, the bread and the fish and put it back into the hands of the disciples. Whereas we've been told that Jesus walked this miracle, of course he did, but he engaged the disciples. This is one thing that Jesus loves to do, is to engage us. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that God can do, but will not do until we are engaged. Now, it's not that he can't do it, but he wouldn't do it, So if we don't engage, for instance, like prayer, God wants us to pray over nations, pray over our families, pray over our lives and different things. And there are some things that he might just not do unless we pray. So he can do it, but he won't do it if we don't pray. So Jesus also, he could have, done this miracle of feeding the multitudes by himself doing it, but he wanted to show us something. So he put a blessing on the food, put it in the hands of the disciples, and Jesus walked away. And he gave them instructions what to do. We see several stories where, more elements of the story came by. In another place, he told them, set them down by 50s and so forth, and then you give it to them. In one place, the disciples wanted to send the people away, and Jesus said, no, give them to eat, and so on. So, and in every case, he blessed, I think it was a little boy's lunch, but he blessed it and gave it into the hands of the disciples, and they gave it out. So we see that Jesus always wanting to engage us in, the work that he would do out among the people. However, when it came time to prayer, he wanted to do it alone. And that tells us something, And every time that he was praying, the disciples always wanted to be there, but they couldn't be there because he was always hiding himself. Sometimes there was only one time when he was going to the cross that he actually wanted them to join him. But even then, you know, he put a great space between himself and them, said, "You stay over here and pray." And he went, you know, further down into the garden, you know. So that he was always, you know, trying to isolate himself when it came to prayer. In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, we're told, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." You know, and later they went and looked for him, because we're told that Simon and some of the others were looking after for him. And when they finally found him, so that means they had to search for him. He wasn't doing it in an open place. He always liked to do it privately, you know. So now, there is a lesson to be learned there. Also, another thing to see is that after one great performance or miracle, Jesus went back to pray, you know, and before the next, you know, great thing that he would do, he separated himself back into prayer and spent several hours. We're told that, you know, I mean, this thing happened during the day, and then he went, and in the evening, he was still there, and he stayed there until the fourth watch. And when the fourth watch of the next day was coming, then he went out to meet the sheep, which by this time had gone far away, you know. So just look at all the amount of time that Jesus spent, you know, the time, all the time that he spent in prayer. That's the first thing we see in the story. And he did that alone. Okay? Didn't let any of the disciples follow him. This was the reason why the disciples, they wanted to figure out how he prayed, and they couldn't. So one day, they, you know, they say, "Okay, now, you know, tell us, how do we pray? I mean, we've seen that even John taught his disciples to pray, and we've never been able to find you when you're praying, you know, to teach us how to pray." See, because if they would have been around the whole time while I was praying, maybe they would have figured it out. But he didn't let any of them come close. He took his time, separated himself. He have that one-on-one. That's right. That's where I'm going with this. Jesus did a lot of that one-on-one communion with the Father. Prayer meetings and group prayer meetings are great. But we see that Jesus was always doing this one-on-one thing with the Father. You know, so, you know, that's a lesson. That's the first lesson that we see out of this story. That Jesus spending that time alone, apart, and away from the people. Even though they were people of like faith, didn't matter. You know, he wanted to spend his time alone with the Father. And I believe that during those times, he also got instruction. Because he said the Son can do nothing except what the Father showed him. What time would the Father show him if he was always all over the place, didn't have time to settle down for the Father to show him something? You know, so those moments when he would settle down and let the Father show him something, you know, and then he was always in, you know, try to do that alone when there was nobody, you know. John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do," you know, "that's what he does likewise." And so whatever the Father would show him, he said, that's what the Son would do, and so on and so forth. So that's the first lesson we learn out of this story, the power that was in the prayer life of Jesus. How he always separated himself to prayer, and the pattern of his prayer life as well. And there was some secret to that, which the disciples couldn't figure out. You know, so that was number one thing. Number two, we see that Jesus, didn't matter to him whether the ship had left the station or not. Boat has left. I'll just catch up with them, walk on the sea, You know, now, before he could do the walking on the sea, though, after the miracle of feeding the multitudes, he had spent hours in prayer. He didn't just jump from one great, powerful miracle to another. He separated himself in between, spent a lot of time in prayer, got some other direction, you know, charged up himself again. Now he can walk on the water. So he comes now, you know, he's walking on the water. And this ship has gone far, but Jesus is walking on the water to catch up with them. And then they see, I mean, remember all the hours that the ship has gone, you know, from all the time he went to pray and he was there till evening and then also wait until the fourth watch of the next day, the next early morning. I mean, so they, you know, they've gone a long time. Yeah. And, I mean, how quickly can he catch up with the ship? We're not told how quickly his pace was on the water, but he has some catching up to do, but it didn't bother him at all. He just walk on the water, catch up with the boat. So that's the second thing we see. That was the power, the secret, you know, to his dominion over the sea and different things we saw came after spending hours of prayer alone. Now, that's a secret. So after spending those hours of prayer alone, he comes out walking on the water. Remember, Jesus said, your Father that seeth you in secret will reward you openly. Now, he spent all that time in secret with the Father. Now the Father is going to reward him openly. He's going to come out walking on water. And people are going to say, wow. You know, as a matter of fact, he wowed the people because he was able to walk on water. We're told that all the people that were in the ship, they were more than just the disciples. They came and worshipped him after they saw that he walked on the water. So my goodness, you got to be the Son of God. Our Father was rewarding him openly for those hours that he spent in secret with the Father. So these are some lessons that we're seeing. Number one lesson was his life of prayer. Number two, connected to that, was the dominion that he has over nature. Because of the time he spent in prayer alone with the Father. He didn't want anybody there. Send them away. You know, so now, number three. I can spend some more time on this dominion thing, but I'm going to just let that sink into our hearts right now. You know, Jesus, even though he could have walked on the water, without praying, could have done all these things. Because he's the Son of God. But he showed us an example. Never started out his day without spending a great while in prayer before day starts. And these great miracles that he would do, always in prayer before. Even we saw that when he was about to call his disciples, he spent a whole night in prayer. Maybe the Father showing him. There could have been some, you know, thing there. Hey, pick this one. He's the one that's going to betray you. Say, oh my goodness. So I got to manage that betrayer. Remember, Jesus was both God and man. And in his man state, he had to talk to his Father. Just like we would. So there would have been stuff like that. You know, I got to deal with that guy. You know, yeah, you got to deal with him. So, you know, the Father would tell him all the ones he needed to pick, and then he would come out and pick them. Because Father showed him first everything that he would do. But it was during the times alone. That's a lesson for us to learn there. Now he comes out with power and authority. And people are wondering, how did he get that power? You know, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? There was one lesson like that in Matthew chapter 8 when he rebuked the sea. Here, you know, the sea is just underneath his feet. And he's just walking on the water. I mean, it's amazing stuff, you know. So we see that. Number three, the next thing that we see, which is actually going more in line with the title of this message today, is we see, well, first of all, everybody's scared when they see him walking on the water. God, no, nobody ever seen such a thing. But now, they figure it out because he spoke to them. But this time around, by this time, he had caught up with them. How he did it, I don't know. But the sheep had several hours advantage ahead of him. How he caught up with them, we don't know. We're not told. There was another secret in there that we're not told about, you know. But we leave that alone because according to Deuteronomy 29 and 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord. But the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. So some things are hidden. We leave it alone. I don't know how he caught up with the sheep so fast. That's hidden. We're not told. So I leave it alone. But what we are told in this story is that, you know, he did walk on the water and he did catch up with the sheep. And when he did, he was within distance of the sheep. They could hear his voice. And he said, don't worry about it. It's me. Don't be scared. As soon as Peter heard that, he said, okay, Lord, if it is you, indeed, bid me come on the water. Peter knows something here. Peter, he knows something. So look, this is how we're going to prove that it is really the Lord and not the Spirit. But they were all afraid. You know, said, okay, well, come on, Peter. The Lord told him. And Peter is like, think of it this way. Can I come and play? Can I also walk on the water? If it is you, I know you can tell me to do it. And Jesus says, of course. Come on. Now, in the meantime, the rest of the disciples are looking at, is this guy crazy? You know, you're going to try to walk on the water just because you saw Jesus doing it? You know, now, there be a lot of elements in Peter's head. The first element, though, the first instinct that he had, first instinct was right. Like, if the master says so, I can do it. Because the master says so. That was what was in his head. He said, look, if you say so, I can do it. Same story. Peter is always kind of like that. Same story like in Luke chapter 5 when they were there all night long catching nothing. And when they have washed their boat, their nets and, you know, come back to shore, packed it all in. And Jesus tells Peter, do it again. And he starts to, you know, argue and say, look, what do you mean do it again? We've been there all night. The fish are not biting today. We'll come back some other day. Jesus said, no, do it again. But this time I'll tell you. You know, so he gave him some additional instruction. And Jesus, in the meantime, after Jesus said that, Peter said, well, nevertheless, at thy word. So this Peter always wanted to take Jesus at his word, even more than all the other disciples. If Jesus said it, he knew he could do it. You know, if Jesus said, go back out there and do it again, he knew. You know, and he went back out there in Luke chapter 5, did it again, and lo and behold, a great multitude of fish. So he knows these things. You know, that's Peter for you. So Peter knows the word of the master, you know. Call Peter anything you want, but he was someone that was willing to take Jesus at his word. And he said, well, if it is you, you tell me. And if you say so, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm coming on that water. But I said, Peter, be careful now. So Peter, he steps out in faith. Glory to God. And he steps on that water. Walk on, Peter. And Peter is walking on water. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter did walk on the water, just like Jesus. Remember, John chapter 14 and verse 12. What did Jesus say? Well, the works that I do, the same shall you do also. So Peter is going to walk on water just like Jesus. And he's walking on water. And he's having such a great time. All time, Jesus said, come on, Peter. And he's looking at Jesus. Come on, Peter. And Peter's walking on. Walking on, you know. That's the next lesson we see. The faith to take Jesus at his word. We're just decomposing this story little by little. The faith to take Jesus at his word. Many of us jump to conclusion on this story and say, well, you know, Peter didn't believe anything. He did believe something. You know, in fact, he was the only one that took Jesus at his word. he knew it. So if Jesus, the master says so, that's it. I can do it. Based on what the master says. And he did. He was walking on the water. Now, and so he's looking at Jesus. He said, come on, Peter. Peter, come on. Jesus was encouraging him. You know, and, and then he's coming. But something happens. This is the next lesson that we see here. Something happens. Now, remember, you know, the waves and all that stuff, they didn't just start becoming boisterous just because Peter got on the water. They were already boisterous. The waves were already tossing the ship back and forth, we're told. But, you know, his problem started when he took his eyes off the master. So that's the main part of this lesson today. Even though there are other elements to learn from, the main part of the lesson today is when you step out in faith in accordance to the word of God, you got to continue in faith by keeping your eyes on Jesus. Now, if you look to something else. So Peter, he now looked around him. Peter, keep your eyes on the master. Ah, but he didn't. He looked away and said, when he saw the waves boisterous, said, I can't walk on water. Now he starts to sink. Because now, see, he knew he could do it. Why in the world all of a sudden now you say you can't walk on water? You knew you could walk on water because Jesus told you so. You know, that's how he stepped out in faith. But you see, you know, faith alone at the onset of taking God as his word is not enough. You got to hold on to that same faith by which you stepped out in the beginning. Got to hold on to it. And despite what comes along the way, you might see some giants. You might see some boisterous waves. You might see some other things that will try to sink your faith. But you got to hold on to your faith. The master said, that's what Peter needed to have reminded, but he was afraid because he took his eyes off the master. And Jesus was right there. I mean, he was looking at Jesus, gazing at Jesus. So Jesus on top of the water. And he said, if you tell me, I can do the same. Jesus said, yeah, I tell you. And he stepped out of the boat, stepped on the sea, and was doing exactly what Jesus was doing. You know, as long as he kept his eyes on the master. So when he allowed himself to look away and see all the boisterous waves, then he began to be afraid. I can't walk on water. So let me talk to you about different kinds of voices at this point. There was the voice of faith at first that was in the heart of Peter. He said, look, when the master speaks, it's done. If he says so, I can do it. And so he put his faith on the word of the master. I say, if it be you, you bid me come. And if you bid me come, I will walk on the water. This is how Peter started out. Very powerful stuff. Powerful. Because he took Jesus at his word. He stepped out on the water. And he was doing great. See, now, how many of us have actually taken Jesus at his word? Peter did great. The rest of the disciples that laughed at him later, that look at you. You were almost thinking, you know, if the master hadn't helped you, you would have sunk, you know, and you would have drowned. And Jesus, Peter would say, well, at least I tried. None of you tried anything, you know. So Peter did try. And the rest of them, they didn't think he could do it, but Peter did it. See, so it is important for us to take Jesus at his word like Peter did. Affirm his word. We've been talking about that. And Jesus says something, you say yes to it, and based on his word, nevertheless, at thy word. You know, now, you know, he knew There was no such thing as walking on the water. There was no such thing. You cannot defy gravity like, you just can't do it. Nobody does it. But he saw Jesus doing it. He said, if you tell me, then I'll know that I can do it. And Jesus said, I tell you, come. So it's a powerful revelation if you just take it. Just take God at his word. If he tells you something, then he empowers you to do it. That's it. The word that Jesus spoke to Peter, the come that Jesus said, because he said, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. That word come carried the power to make Peter afloat on the water. Glory to God. That's it. Because Peter believed it. Because Peter stepped out in faith. That word didn't help any of the other disciples that were in the water looking. The boat looking. It didn't help them. Because they did not step out on that faith. Now, Peter was actually walking not on the water, but on the word of the master. That's what Peter was doing. He said, if you say it, I can do it. Jesus said, well, I say, come. So Peter stepped out on the word of the master. That's really what it was. But then, see, the next lesson comes. You got to stay the course. Right? Jesus said something in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, anybody that steps out in faith, like Peter, but then looks back, he's not fit. If you put your hands on the plow and then you start looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom, he said. So when you step out in faith on his word, it's not the sea, it was his word. What was carrying Peter was the word that the master said, because he put his faith on it. That was what was carrying him. Standing on the word. Now, but starting alone is not enough. It's not he that starts the race, Paul said, but the finisher is the one that gets crowned. And when you finish, you must finish according to the rules. The rules here, the rules of engagement in this case, in this lesson of stepping out in faith based on what God told you already, the rules of engagement here are that you must keep your eyes on the word. See, the word of God said, come. And then you started to come. Keep your eyes on that word. Don't listen to any other voices. The initial voice of faith said, the master has spoken. And I say, so be it. And you step out by faith. That's it. His first reaction was to the voice of faith. Then there were some other voices that crept in. The voice of fear. See, fear is fear will kill your appointment, your calling, your anointing, anything that God has put you. Fear will kill it so fast, your head will spin. This one man that buried his talent, that did nothing, he said, I was afraid and I did nothing. Fear will quench that assignment that God gave you. That was another voice of fear. Then there was a voice of reason. All mixed in there. The voice of reason, the voice of fear, the voice of doubt. They were all working together against the voice of faith. The voice of faith said, the master said so. Now you go forward. And step out on that word. Doesn't matter whether I see or anything. You're actually walking on the word. Now, voice of reason comes in. You can't walk on water. Whoever done such a thing? You are not the son of God. How can you walk on water? And then all of a sudden, you begin to sink. See? So, I hope you're catching this lesson. This is how things work. For us, and don't walk. Many of us, we step out by faith and in faith when God tells us something. Many of us do. But then, along the way, something comes up The devil is always waiting in the wings. If you think that just because God told you to do something, then you're going to just go scot-free and just sail through, you got another thing coming. Because the devil, especially when Jesus already said it, is when the tempest would rise. Let us pass over to the other side. The devil is waiting for that. He heard it too, just like you heard it, you know. And then he's going to make sure that does not happen. Come against you with his fury. And there are some times that he will use things like fear, doubt, unbelief, reasoning, and so on. All of these were working together against the voice of faith, which initially stirred up in Peter. So that's the next lesson. The next lesson that we learn out of this is, you know, when you ask, James said, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Remember our amen. Affirm his word, mean what you say, expect what you say, nothing doubting. Faith, you know, is all those elements. Nothing doubting. James said, if he doubts anything, it's like a wave of the sea. You can't receive anything from the Lord when you're like that. So, we know that when you ask God in faith, he might just tell you, come. Praise God. Now, but be careful what you ask for. If you say, I'm going to walk on water, can I come? Can I play? Jesus said, come. Now, be careful now. Now, when he says, come, there you have it. He has already empowered you for the journey and the assignment. Glory to God. Whatever the assignment is, which moment his word is released in your direction, not for everybody else. He didn't say come to all the other disciples in the boat. He said come to Peter. So Peter was the one that asked. That word, when it released in your direction, like that, it empowers you for the mission. That's it. He was already empowered to do it. Now, but the next thing is, you know, when you hear that word, you step out by faith like Peter did, but you must stay on that word. When you step out into your purpose, that's a purpose that God might put in front of you. It might be an assignment for you. There are big things and there are little things. You know, there are big things that align with God's eternal purpose. You know, some things he has called you to accomplish in the body of Christ. Those are the big things. But then there are also the little things, your career, your this, your that, everything we deal with every day of our lives. But it's all the same. The principles are the same. Once he gives you a word, a commander-in-chief says, go forward, or he says, come. You know, that word empowers you to deal with the situation. Now, Peter never tried to walk on water before. I don't know if he tried again after that, but he stepped out in faith based on the word of the master. Powerful stuff. So, when you step out in faith as well, just like Peter did, you are acting on the word of God. That's what you're doing. And the word of God is like you stepped out on the word. Because the word said go. And you said, okay, I'm going because the word says so. See, you couldn't have done it if the word didn't tell you. That's why it goes back to our lesson that we all say, you know, you can't command something when the Lord has not said so. Lamentation 3:37. That's always a principle that I fall back on. You know, if the Lord hasn't said it, you cannot make it happen. But once he says it, you latch onto it. That's it. But that's not exactly it. Because the devil is going to come at you with fear, with doubt, with reasoning. Can't walk on water. Whoever heard of such a thing? You know, and so on and so forth. So, those are lessons. Now, when you step out into your purpose, boisterous waves, or you will start to sink. Powerful lessons in this story. You must keep your eyes on the promise and on the target, the word that said come. Now keep your eyes on that word. Remember, Jesus is the word himself, standing on that water. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus just stood there wanting Peter to come to him because he said, come, you know, and Jesus just stood there. See, you know, how many steps Peter would take to get to him. And he was coming. And they said, look, come. So the secret is step out in faith. Keep your eyes on that word of promise. Whatever he said. So this is why we must know the word. If you don't know the word, remember our faith specs. According to Hebrews 11 and 13, there are four things there in the principles of faith. And faith is taught throughout the scriptures in so many ways. That verse tells us four things. They saw the promise of Pharaoh. The promise is come. That's what the word said to Peter in this case. So see the promise before you act. Jesus did the same thing. Father must show me something first before I can do it. One day Jesus was approached by somebody who was blind. The father said, take him out of the city. He didn't argue. Why? You could have just laid hands on the man right there and killed him. But because the father, for whatever reason, the father said, that's the end of it. Jesus didn't argue. Took the man out of the city and healed him out of the city. But that's what the father showed him to do. So when we are walking with God, this walk with God is a very, you know, delicate thing. You got to do as he says. You step out in faith on his word. You keep your eyes on the promise. But you got to know the promise, what he said. The next thing is you got to be persuaded of that promise. They saw the promises afar off and were persuaded and embraced it and confessed. So that's our spec right there. You see the promise, that means find out what God already said about that. Oh, the Holy Spirit might speak point blank to you. And sometimes he doesn't. He will tell you that, I already told you. He said, you told me, I don't know. Well, go search the word, because he told you in the word. You know, so, and then you got to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. You know, can you anchor your actions on his word? That's what Peter did. He anchored his action of stepping out in faith upon the word of the master that said, come. And he knew. As long as the master said so, I can do it. You know, so keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the promise. Keep your eyes on the word of God. You know, embrace it for this situation and confess it. I'm walking on water. I'm going to the other side. And that's what Jesus said. Let's pass on to the other side. And the disciples could have said, well, you know, the master, they could have remembered what the master said in Mark chapter 4. When Jesus said, let us pass on to the other side, they could have remembered that instead of panicking. Well, the reason they panicked was they didn't have a life, a secret weapon like Jesus. Jesus' secret weapon was those hours in prayer. Before that happened, he came from praying. And he already knew what was coming. You know, and then, you know, but he prayed up. So didn't matter. Just going to go to sleep. Let the storm come and do its thing. I already know the word of the master said, we're going to the other side. Simple. That's it. So I'm going to the other side. Come what may, I'm going to the other side. Because that's what the master said. And so that's why someone like David in Psalm 23 could say, though I walk through, see, the valley of the shadow of death. He knew that he's coming out on the other side. That's why he used the word through. I'm going through. I'm not going into. If you go into it, it's a dead end. You may not come out. You know, but he said, though I walk through, you know, Psalm 23 and verse 4, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going through this storm to the other side, just like Jesus said. And it didn't matter whether the shipmaster was very savvy or not. It wasn't the mastery of the shipmaster in that situation that was going to get him to the other side. It wasn't even, you know, whether he knew how to do it or didn't know how to do it. It was the word that said so. And the word has the power within itself to sustain itself. And these are things that we must learn. I've said it multiple times, but anytime we teach on this subject, we got to say it again. The word of God carries the power within itself, not only to sustain itself, but also to sustain you on that assignment and empower you to walk on the water, just like in this case. But if you remove your eyes from the promise and the target, you know, then you're going to start to sink. But then another lesson that we learned from Peter is Peter cried out to the Lord. See, when you find yourself sinking, what do you do? What's your first reaction when you find yourself sinking? That your feet and your steps have now faltered because you were standing on the word and somehow you got knocked off because you looked here and there. But what's your next thing that you do after that? I've often said to people, I said, look, what God is interested in at any moment in your life, this moment that you're right here, what he's interested in is, what are you going to do next? That's what he's interested in. You know, what are you going to do next? There's always that next step. Are you going to take that next step while still keeping your eyes on Jesus? Or are you going to look around and then start to sink? And even if you look around and start to sink, what's your next step? The next step for Peter was to cry out to the Lord. Jesus, you know, is always there, you know. And we cry out to him like that, always there. And Jesus showed us that, showed us that again in this story, that he's always there for us. When we, you know, if you find yourself faltering, find yourself sinking, remember Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? And I'll get rid of that fear now. Because that fear will sink you quickly. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, boisterous waves and everything. In the midst of those boisterous waves, mountains shaking, erupting and everything, volcanoes, cataclysmic upheavals all around me, yet will I not fear. Ha! Glory to God. I will be confident in this very thing. Well, that's a challenge that we face. The word will be challenged. The word that Jesus said, come, beat Peter, that word was challenged by other voices that came. The first voice he reacted to was the voice of faith. He said, the master spoke, go ahead. Then after that, I said, no, you can't do that. You know, and then all kinds of other things, you know, come in there. So we can't take those giants. I mean, look at them and look at us. I mean, we are in our own eyes like grasshoppers. And these people are giants in stature. You know, and you know, contradictions, that's what I call them, contradictions against the word of promise. Contradictions will come, you know, to your mind, contradict the word that you stepped out believing. Now, many people start out believing, but then when situations arise, then they fall back and doubt, and then they will die in the wilderness. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to die in the wilderness. I'm not dying in the wilderness. I'm getting to the promised land. Are you coming with me? Praise the Lord. Now, most of the people except the younger generation, most of the older folks that came out of there, they perished in the wilderness. But they said, we can't do it. Well, God said, fine. You will not do it then. You know, so, but a couple of them, I said, of course we can. Because God said so. See, it was the same thing, same principles. Joshua and Caleb were hanging their actions on what God said. See, God said it, therefore we can do it. That's it. So men and brethren, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge us today. What is it that God has said to you? Well, then you got to step out in faith upon that word. Doesn't matter whether it's a mountain you have to scale. Doesn't matter if it is some sea you have to walk on. It doesn't matter if some barriers you have to run through. It doesn't matter if some gates you have to break down. Whatever. Once the word has been released in your direction, you step out in faith upon that word. And that word will carry you through. But keep your eyes on him the whole time. Praise the Lord. If you don't, you're going to start to sink. If you find yourself sinking, though, the lesson is cry out to Jesus. And listen to what Jesus said. And this is what he always said in every one of these stories that are similar to this that were recorded. You know, say, he always said, he said, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, that's what he always say. Why were you afraid? And once you step out in faith like that, well, then keep on believing till the end. You know, but Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So the voice of doubt came in and said, I can't do that. I can't walk on water. Well, then you start to sink, you know. And when they were come into the ship, then the wind ceased. Yeah, because now the master has finished the lesson for the day. A lesson for the day was what Jesus was. Jesus, when he stepped out on the water, he could have said, peace be still to the wind. No, he let that wind be there. He was there. Wind was all around. Peter was there looking at him. Wind all around. Everything. Jesus left the wind there. It's a lesson for the day. Now, when they came into the boat, the lesson is over. Wind stopped. Think about it. Now, powerful lessons throughout this story. Now, let me recap, you know, all the various lessons here. It's about away apart from everybody, even apart from his disciples. These are his partners in ministry. He was teaching. He's spending time away. Sometimes he got to spend time alone with God. He didn't even want them to see where he was going. He sent them away first. Then he sent away the multitudes. And then he himself went to a private place. That was the power. That was the secret behind his dominion. Now, remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Father who seeth you in secret, he will reward you openly. So the Father that saw him in secret was now going to reward him openly now that he's walking on the water and everything, he's now going to everybody. He got worship when he came into the boat. Everybody came and worshiped him and said, my goodness, that you must indeed be the Son of God. Praise God. You know, so remember those words that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, when he was talking about prayer, you know, verse 4, he said, your Father sees you in secret, will reward you openly. So the power and the secret of Jesus' dominion came from the time, the hours that he spent in prayer before he walked on the sea and spent several hours in prayer. That's lesson number 2. Lesson number 3 is Peter reacts to the word. See? Correctly. Not the other disciples, they didn't, but he did. He knew the voice of the master. If the master says so, that's all I need. I can do so. And he did so. So that's lesson number 3. When you ask the Lord and he says, come, or say, go, you might say, come in this case, or you might say, go forward, or whatever. When you ask him and he says, response, you know, you gotta be careful what you ask. Because now that he has said it, you are now responsible for acting upon that word. That's it. And the word was exactly what Peter stepped out on. So that's another revelation for you today. You thought he stepped out on the water. He did, but he was actually stepping out on the word. Because if the master hadn't said so, he wouldn't have thought that he could do it. But because the master said so, then he thought he could do it. That was lesson number 3. Lesson number 4 was, well, you know, something could trigger your mind when Jesus said, come. And yeah, he said, come. These two lessons, they're hand in hand, just like number 1 and 2 are hand in hand. This one is also hand in hand. You got to actually step out of that boat. Got to step out of your comfort zone. You know, you may have to go in the midst of this storm, but on the word. Glory to God. So, Peter actually had to step out of the boat to prove this thing that Jesus said. You gotta do it. You gotta step out of that boat. You know, the boat may be your comfort zone, your shelter, your this or that, but sometimes you gotta step out of that boat. But when you do, nothing doubting. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some of us here that are hesitating and doubting. But Peter didn't hesitate. He just did it spontaneously because the master said so. You know, that's it. Before the voice of reason set in, he acted on the word. You know, if you analyze it too much, you won't be able to act on the word. Here's how we can analyze it so much that we won't be able to do anything. You analyze it, you know, so much, you won't be able to do it. What does the Bible say? He said, well, he that observeth the clouds, the rains, and all these things, you won't do anything because that's what you are there just thinking. It's going to rain, so I can't go out today. You know, it's going to, there's even a lion in the streets and so forth. I can't do anything. Yeah, let's think about it. The book of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, very powerful revelation. You know, he that observes the wind will not sow. And if you are looking at the clouds, it's going to rain. Well, you're not going to do anything, but that's going to keep you inside instead of stepping out in faith. If you look at the boisterous waves, Peter didn't look at the boisterous waves the first time. He just stepped out in faith. You know, so you take a look at the Ecclesiastes 11:4 and you see it, and you gain understanding to it that, look, you got to step out in faith, not looking at all the conditions around. God knew the conditions before he told you, you know, go to the other side. He knew the tempest was coming. You know, Jesus knew all the boisterous waves were there. He saw it himself. Yet he told you to come on the waves. You know, so, you know, but if you'll sit there, analyze everything, there is a time for everything. There's a time where you analyze things. That's when your mind is telling you stuff, then you got to analyze it to make sure it's the word of God. You know, if you are one person that has known how to discern the voice of God, you know, and God tells you something, there's no analyzing. You got to take time to figure out that voice. A lot of people in the Bible did. Samuel didn't know it. You know, Eli had to teach him. Gideon heard it, but he didn't believe it because he wasn't used to that voice and he had to check it out. Well, if it is your voice, if you are telling me to do this, then let this happen, let that happen. A couple times. And after that, well, then he figured it out. Thereafter, we never heard that he was asking God anything again. Say, oh, is it you? He just said, the Lord said to Gideon. The Lord said to Gideon. The Lord said to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel. So, you know, but sometimes you have to sit down and analyze. Is it the Lord that's telling me this? Or it's just my mind. Those are the ones that you analyze. And use sound judgment. But if it is the Lord that's telling you, once he says, you do. You know, that's what Jesus said. You know, he said, ye are my friends, right? If you do whatsoever I command you, there is no question about it. You do as he says. You know, there's a song that says, I'm a friend of God and all that. Well, maybe, and maybe not. You are his friends if you do whatsoever I command you, John chapter 15 and verse 14. So, now, when you step out of faith, though, once you step out into your purpose, you got to keep your eyes on the word. Trained on that word. Focused on that word. Laser focused. Don't let any distractions. Boisterous waves or not. Otherwise, you start to sink. But you do find that you are sinking, you got to cry out to the Lord. Praise God. Now, and the Lord will always reach out and deliver you. And he give you a safe haven again. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. I trust that you learned a few things from it. Let's practice faith. You know, we cannot teach enough on faith. You just can't overemphasize faith. This is all that Jesus always was trying to teach the disciples, and he was always disappointed when they didn't get it. You know, have I been with you so long time and yet, you don't understand this? I mean, you know, even call them, you know, adulterous generation. But I mean, how long will I be with you? How many times am I going to tell you this thing? Adulterous, if you mix the voice of reason over the voice of God. That's adultery. I take his word. When he says it, you know, I mean, Eve committed adultery way back then because the word said something and she took devil's word over God's word right there. You know, so you got, when the Lord says it, hey, you got to do it. And that's why Jesus called an adulterous generation. Every time we take the word of the devil, or the word of the voice of reason, or the word from our mind over the word of God, that's adultery. So, let's not be an adulterous generation. Stay with the word of God, and he will see you through. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray over the lesson and leave it there for you to give you a reaction. So let us pray. Father, I thank you and I give you glory and praise for the word of God. The word of God, we're told, is forever settled in heaven. I pray that it will be settled in our hearts. As a matter of fact, let it be settled in your heart. Once the Lord has spoken, step out in faith and by faith, moved by faith upon his word, step out on the promise. Hallelujah. And the Lord is right there with you all the way. Because he knows that we are flesh, Lord. You know that. And many times we falter, Lord. Pray for your grace. Pray for your strength. Pray for forgiveness when we doubt you. Help us, Lord. Everyone here, at one time or the other, we've doubted the Lord. The Lord said, go. And you started to go and you said, well, I can't go. Lord, we know we can because you said so. Teach us, Lord, to step out in faith and keep our eyes on the promise the whole time. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory in Jesus' name. Now, I come against the voices. Voices that are contrary to the voice of faith. The voice of fear. The voice of doubt. And the voice of reason. You know, I say, you can't do that. And they will try to silence the voice of faith. Now, let faith rise in the hearts of your people through the word. The Bible says, faith coming by hearing. This word that you heard today, bring faith in your heart. A new release of faith. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that every one of us, once the word's been released in our direction, we will grab onto it. And we will step out upon that word and keep our eyes on the word all the way through. And should anything happen that causes us to falter or knock us off our feet, we will not stay down for the count. I will arise, the young man said, and I will go to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Lord, we arise today and we come to you. There's no other place to go. When we are sinking, we got to go to the Lord. There's no other place. So, Lord, help us, Lord. Many of us are sinking from the place of faith. We sunk because we gave in to doubt. We gave in to fear. We gave in to unbelief. Help us, Lord, as we cry out. And I know the Lord will reach out and help us, just like he did Peter. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going all the way, Lord. That's right. We're not going to back down. Praise God. We're going to the promised land. We're not going to let the devil cheat us out of it through fear, doubt, unbelieving, and all these things. Say nothing doubting. Praise God. Ah, we give you, Lord, the praise. We give you, Lord, the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.